You guys have been going through the book of Philippians, and of course my topic today is from the book of Philippians, and where I've been asked by Malcolm to start off from chapter 3, verse 1 through to 11. The heading in my Bible, and if you don't have this heading in your Bible, then you need to get the same kind of Bible as I have, and you really need to get the real Bible. So have a look at your Bible and have a look at Philippians chapter 3, and if it has "All for Christ" as the heading, then you're cool. You're in, you're okay. But oh, look at that, that's amazing. New King James Version. This is the reading. Let's read it together. Not all together, I'll read it, but we can follow it through. These 11 verses. So, it says there, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, and be conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." What a massive, massive, powerful testimony from a man. Because Paul was just a man, eh? He was just a guy like we are. He was made up of flesh and bone. He was no different in the body as we were. But one thing about Paul, he gave all for Christ. Mm-hmm. And in this reading, we get this whole instruction from Paul to give up everything for Christ. There is nothing more valuable than serving Christ, than giving your life to Christ. And so that is what Paul really emphasizes through these few 11 verses. All for Christ. I'm sure you've had from Malcolm and others the background of the book of Philippians, and I'm not going to give you that at all, apart from one thing. The book of Philippians is often referred to as the book of joy. You read through the pages there, there's not very many of the pages, but the few pages there are, it's joy that comes out. Yeah. Rejoice is the word that Paul uses here, rejoice. But throughout the whole of the book, it's this joy, being joyful, being full of joy. It's so wonderful to be full of joy. So throughout the Bible, indeed, one of the things that really does spring out is that a Christian life is supposed to be joyful. Yeah. You know, someone said, you know, Christians look as though they'd had some lemons for breakfast. You know, they'd sucked on lemons. We need to smile. We need to be rejoicing in God. You know, we have something to rejoice about. We have got salvation. We have been given a new life. We have actually, the truth of God has been implanted inside of us. So we need people like Paul to come along every so often and remind us of the things that we should be doing. And here we have it. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice." Now, if we didn't look at anything else in these verses, if we were only looking at that few words, that is what we need to be hearing. We need to hear, "Finally, my brethren," you know, that's us all here. Like, that's the ladies as well as the men. "Brethren, finally, brethren, this is what you need to do. You need to rejoice in the Lord." That's right. So, we need to rejoice in the Lord. Hey, you're doing really well. You're better than I am, actually. But hey, that is what we need to do. We need to rejoice in the Lord. And we know that later on in the book of Philippians it says, not only are we to rejoice, but Paul says, and again I say rejoice. He makes an emphasis, doesn't he, that we should be people who are rejoicing. Now, I'm in no way trying to pull the wool over your eyes today when I actually go on to say what I'm going to say. The word in Hebrew, I don't know Hebrew and I don't know Greek, but I do know this, that there's a word in Hebrew that is sama. And what it actually means, the word there for rejoice means to be joyful with one's whole heart. That's what I found out, that we were to be joyful with our whole heart. The whole of our person has got to be involved. We've got to put ourselves into it. And there's a whole lot of stuff that we should be joyful for. But when we read about joyfulness in the Bible, one of the things that we need to be very joyful about and very thankful for is salvation, is the fact that we have received the forgiveness of our sins, that we have been set loose from that bondage. Hallelujah. Yeah. Does anybody want to say hallelujah?
Yeah.
That's okay. You are allowed to say it. This is church. It's Sunday. You're allowed to say hallelujah and you're allowed to say praise the Lord as well. But it is so true that we need to be joyful and thankful in our hearts. Just as Paul was instructing here. The Bible says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's so true. Sometimes when we feel down, when we're just a little depressed with all that's going on, if we take the instruction of Paul and just begin to stir ourselves up and begin to be joyful, suddenly we feel strong. You know, we can't run through a troop and jump over a wall. We couldn't even lift one foot. And then suddenly the strength of the Lord comes in us. So be joyful, church. Be full of joy. Listen to what Paul says to us. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, let's move on. The Greek word for joy also is very informative, because the Greek word actually instructs us again to be joyful in the Lord with our fullness of joy. I mean, how can you be full of joy with the fullness of joy? But that's what we're told to do, be. We're supposed to be full of joy. Full of joy. So, when you read through a portion of the scripture, I'm sure there's a whole lot of stuff that comes to you at the time that you read through it. But one of the things that I really stopped and looked at a few times whilst I read through these verses was verse 3. We are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. We are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit. The Amplified Bible says, we Christians are the true circumcision who worship God in the spirit and by the spirit, and exalt, that is, rejoice and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ. That's something there, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? That, you know, when we read it in that version, the Amplified version, it really just boosts us along. It gives us a greater sense of what it is that we should be, you know? Now, that scripture, I just thought, hey, God, that's the same as John chapter 4. When Jesus had that encounter at the well with that woman, you remember that time? And there was this coming together between Jesus and this woman, and they got into this dialogue, and then Jesus said, you know, there's a time coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship me in the spirit and in truth. And you know, I'm a great believer. I really, truly, honestly believe that God is looking for his church to worship him.
Yeah.
Before we do anything else, now, please don't get me wrong. Please do go out in the streets and do hots and do whatever. But the first and foremost thing that we as believers should be doing is worshiping God in spirit and truth. Just like Paul was instructing, he said, look, hey, we're the ones who worship God in the spirit. Like, Release yourself to God. Worship him in spirit and in truth. God, I believe, is looking for people who worship him in the innermost parts, not just by lip service. The Bible says that. He's not just looking for us to give him lip service. He's looking for something from the heart. My prayer is that church would be released to worship God with enormous worship. That the worship of God's people would just explode, and people in our communities would be drawn by the worship, that they would come through that door because of the worship, because of the sound that came. And that is what Paul says. He says that we are the ones. If the church doesn't worship, who will? We need the worship of our lives to be so electrifying that people come in and are changed in a moment by the worship. Not by the preaching. Not by the eloquence of words. But by the atmosphere that's created by the worship. Like in the spirit. The spirit of God and the spirit of man connecting. Eh? What an exchange. What an explosion. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about explosion. He's talking about throwing yourself unreservedly on God. He did so, and he wanted everyone else to do as he had done, because he had found the benefits of doing such a thing. There are benefits in throwing yourself on God. Peace of mind, for one. God is calling his people to be true worshippers. Hallelujah. I look at Paul's life, as we look at others like Peter and so on, but you look at Paul's life and you see this man who had such a yearning to honor Jesus, such a yearning, such a desire to give his all to God. And I get encouraged when I read these verses, that if someone can say, everything that I had in my life, I count it now as nothing to follow Christ. I think, well, if he could do that, then surely I can do likewise. Surely I can put down what is important to me and begin to follow Jesus with my whole heart. As we just saw there in John, like with spirit and with truth. Hallelujah. I mean, Paul is an amazing guy, yeah? Because he says, rejoice in the Lord. And we know where he was writing this from. He was writing this from the prison, wasn't he? And he's in there. And he's rejoicing in God. That was a Highland fling. He was dancing and rejoicing and singing and praying and encouraging from the prison cell. Sometimes it takes us all our efforts to say, thank you, Jesus. You know. But here we have to take instruction. We have to take encouragement from Paul, because here from the prison cell, he's able to say, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. If you don't do anything else in the whole of your life, just rejoice in God. Give some glory to God. Be joyful in the fact that your sins are forgiven, that you've been washed in the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. So rejoicing in prison. How can you rejoice in prison? Well, that deep, lasting joy for Paul did not come from anything else than a personal relationship that he had with Jesus. Paul was many things, and we know that, and that's for another time. But the reason Paul himself was able to rejoice was that he himself had already laid down his life to follow Christ. It didn't matter, he said, it didn't matter for all these things that I had, because I've counted them all as rubbish, as garbage, as just total nothingness to know and to follow. To be found in him. That is what Paul wanted to do. Excuse me, do you know where Paul is today? The answer is, oh, he's in Christ. And so it would be for us too, as people come and say, do you know where Sean is? Ah, yeah, he's over there. He's in Christ. What a tremendous testimony that people would know us as people who are in Christ. You know, I think that would just be an amazing thing, that people would see that we are so given to God that we are in Christ. You know, to know that you're in Christ, to know Jesus, is to know the supernatural. It's to know the resurrecting power of God. To be in that relationship is to know Him and the power of His resurrection. We're going to look at that in a moment. To be found in Him, that means that you have a relationship in Him. If you have a relationship with anyone, the person that you should have a relationship with is Christ. That is the one that we should have. To be found in Him, to have a relationship with Him. To understand that your salvation is based upon the fact that you have trusted Christ with your whole life, just like Paul had. He had given up his life. He had submitted his life wholeheartedly to be a follower. I am following Jesus. To the point where he was put into prison. To know him. Verse 10. This means that your relationship with the Lord is not based on what everybody else is saying and doing. It's based on you only knowing him. Forget about everyone else. That I might know him. Not that Malcolm would know him or Joe Bloggs would know him. But Paul said, well, actually Paul didn't know Malcolm. But Paul says that I might know him. The desire, that yearning, can you hear it from the pages? That he had a yearning. I want to know Jesus. I want to know him with all that I am. With all of my heart. With all of my being. With all of my strength. With the person that I am, I want to know you, Jesus, and the power of your resurrection. What's important for you and me is that we would have a one-on-one relationship with Christ. Don't live your Christian experience through someone else. Live it through your experience of who Jesus is. This is what Paul is saying in these pages to me. This is what he's saying. He's saying, give everything up to follow Christ. Much better, by far, to follow Christ. We are complete in Him, the Bible says. It's one of my most favorite verses in the whole Bible. In fact, the book of Colossians is by far my favorite book, I think. But this verse that we find in Colossians 2 verse 10, it says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. If we want to feel complete, well, we are only complete if we've given ourselves wholeheartedly to Jesus. Whether we are born again for 20 years or whatever, we need to continually give ourselves to Christ so that we can feel complete. That's the problem with the church today. The church says, well, I'm not feeling complete. It's because they haven't given themselves wholeheartedly. They're not all in Christ. They're not to be found in Him. They're doing other stuff. The church needs to stop that and give themselves wholeheartedly to Jesus. As the plea would be from Paul to the church. Even today, Paul is still pleading with the church, give yourself to Jesus. As I have given myself to Jesus. And you are complete. You're complete in Jesus. Completeness, surely. Is that for me? No. It should be a comforting thing for us. To be complete. The idea of being complete. The idea of being fulfilled. The idea of being lacking nothing. We lack nothing in Christ. He is my all in all. Joy does not come from things. Joy comes from the Lord. Yeah, and we know that the Bible even talks about there's a time when there might be grieving and there might be pain and there might be anguish. But the Bible also says, but joy comes in the morning. We can go through a season of having a horrible time. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, then joy is the reward. We're able again to rejoice. Rejoice and joy is the same thing. We can have the same depth of relationship. We can have the same depth of relationship with Jesus as we saw Paul have. And that's my desire today, that we here would in some way be able to get a closer relationship with Jesus. By the end of today, by the time that we step out of that door, we'll feel something of a closeness with Jesus, more so than we did before we came here this morning. The depth of relationship is possible. It is possible that we can get closer to Jesus. Day by day, hour by hour, we can get closer. And as we do, we will actually discover something getting stirred up inside of us. The same passion that Paul had. Oh, to have passion for Christ. That we could have the same passion. Do you feel the passion of Paul as you read these verses? He's a passionate guy. But we can have the same thing. The same zeal. The same focus. The same results. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Take note. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Not in stuff. Not in good works. Not in spiritual highs. Who has had a spiritual high? I've been on the mountain. I've been in the valley. I've been on the mountain, and it's great when you're there, but sometimes it is like a spiritual high. But we need to worship God in the valley. We need to be joyful in the Lord in the valley. So Paul was saying, don't be joyful in all of these stuff things. Throw them away. Show them as what they are, rubbish. They don't last. Not in your education. Not in your membership, not in even your service to Christ, but rejoice in the Lord. You know, Paul says something really interesting in verse 1. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you, it is safe. Paul says the same thing. And he repeats himself. And sometimes we need to repeat ourselves so that people can hear the simplest of things. I know that to be the case for myself. Some of the most simplest things I've had to hear 100 times before I say, the penny's dropped. But Paul says, I want you to hear this. Please. It's not tedious for, I just have a desire that you would grasp this thing, that you would rejoice in the Lord with all of your heart and all your strength and everything that you have, just pour it out to Jesus. And he has just got such a desire to put pen to paper yet again and send it out. Look, folks, this is what I need you to do. This is the best thing that you can do. I just want you to get a grasp of this thing. And so, he says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. It's not a tedious thing. It's for your good. Thank God that Paul didn't give up. Thank God for those that never gave up on us. Thank God that I heard the same message a lot of times before I actually got a hold of it and said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. You are the best thing. It's not tedious. Paul wanted to get his point over. Rejoice in the Lord. I mean, rejoice in the Lord. It seems so simple, and yet it is just so fundamental. It's so crucial. It's so absolutely necessary as Christians to know how to rejoice in God, how to be joyful in God. This world ain't an easy place to live in. It is difficult. But if we know the secret of being a joyful Christian, then we can cope. We can be more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. That's a promise. That's what the Bible says. It's the truth. He wants his reader to grasp the importance of his instruction. And I would have the same desire this morning that we would get a grasp of that instruction from Paul, that we would get a hold of the need to rejoice in God, to be joyful Christians, not to be sour Christians, but to be joyful Christians. Paul's passion was to know Jesus more and more and more, more fully, more powerfully, more absolutely. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and I've counted them as rubbish. I mean, we know that that is like garbage. That's like dung. It's like the dregs. He wants to gain Christ and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him. You need to underscore that. I did this week. Underscore that word, to know him. I want to know Jesus. I want to know all about him. I want to know more about him. I want him to tell me something about himself that I don't know. I want to know something more. And the power of his resurrection, we've just celebrated Easter, the power of God at work, the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the sort of thing that Paul is talking about, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, to be made like Jesus. That's what it's all about, folks. That is what the Christian should be being made into, like Christ. From glory to glory, the Bible talks about. Verse 10 is one of the most powerful verses in the whole of Scripture. And it should be our heart's cry and passion. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. I might know him. Listen to this. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness and the surpassing worth, the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That's the Amplified again. Wordy stuff, isn't it? But boy, is it just so stirring that it's not, I might know Jesus. No, it's there. It's saying that the supreme advantage, the precious, the overwhelming, the surpassing worth. Folks, there is nothing more important in your life. I'm telling you. There is nothing more important in your, nothing more precious, nothing more awesome, to use an Americanism. It's awesome. God is awesome. But there is no God like my God. He is awesome. He is most valuable. There is nothing more important, precious, awesome, and valuable as knowing Jesus. To know him. That's the most important thing. Or it should be the most important thing. Especially in this room. If we're a born-again Christian this morning, that should be the most important thing to you. To know Jesus. To know all about him. To be obedient to his call upon your life. That's what Paul was talking about. There's nothing more important to me, he said. And that's paraphrased, of course. But that's what he's saying out of the page. He's saying there's nothing more important to me in my whole life than knowing Jesus Christ. To trust him. To obey him. To know him, that is to know Jesus, completes your joy. I need to ask, do you trust God today? Or do you just trust God today and not on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday? Sometimes we as Christians can put on a good performance on a Sunday because that's what Sundays are for. We go to the church and we raise our hands. But out there in the big bad world where the rubber hits the road, are we as joyful as we would appear to be as we sing our worship songs? Are you today, whether you're a born-again Christian here today or not, are you just willing to lay down your life? I'm not giving an altar call necessarily, but I am actually asking a question. Are you prepared? Are we prepared to lay down our lives as Paul would tell us here, to know him? Are we prepared to let down our life to know him more? There could be suffering. Because Paul says that, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And we all say, hallelujah. And it's right to do so. But then it goes on to say, and the fellowship of his suffering, to be conformed to his death. But are we prepared to lay everything down? Willing to trust Jesus, even if it does mean that there will be suffering. There will be persecution. I'm not necessarily saying that God would call you to lay down your life as he had for Paul. I mean, we know that Paul's life was taken from him. But I do know this, that for each and every one of us, God is calling us to serve him, to surrender to him, our whole mind, our whole body, and our spirit to him, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection. He is calling his church for more than the church is at present time. Why don't you just submit to Jesus this morning? Why don't you just say, yes, Jesus, I want to be like Paul. I want to say, I'm putting all this stuff down so that I might know you more. That I might know something more of your power, more of your life within me, more of the call that you've placed upon me. We're going to sing a song just in a moment. I think we know it, In Christ Alone. And, you know, there are times in our experience, Charles knows about it, sorry. He knows about it, and you know about it now as well, don't you? There are times in our lives as Christians, there's a challenge put towards us. And that challenge is, are you fully committed to Christ? Are you fully serving him? Are you really hungering and thirsting after? Is Jesus number one? Or does he come somewhere down the list? The choice is for us all here this morning to say to God today, to say to Jesus, Lord, I just want to serve you a bit more than I've been. I just want to be a bit more faithful than I've been. I just want to be a bit more in love with you. Is that okay? To be in love with Jesus more. Of course it is. To be in love with Jesus more than we are today. To grow and to grow and to grow. To be found in him. That we would be people who are found in Christ. Submitted to him. Just want to pray, Malcolm, if that's okay, and then I'm finished, and then maybe we'll sing this song. But Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, that most precious name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We come before you and we just say, Lord, have your way in our lives. We thank you for Paul. We thank you, Lord, that you used men such as he to put stuff into our lives. Lord, thank you by the inspiration of the Spirit that we can learn even today. We can take from the passion that he had. We can take it as ours today. Lord, we want to be like that guy. We want to be that we are putting everything down. That everything that we have gained, we would put to loss for Christ. That we would count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. That I might be found in him. That I might be stronger and stronger and stronger in Jesus. My confession would be more. Lord, that you might receive the glory. That you might receive all the praise. Lord, that many would hear of your fame. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.